Welcome back, everyone, to Speedrun Education Podcast. My name is Flesh, and today I bring to you a very, very special episode with Ideas and Rebecca. And we tried out, she's from the Mario Kart Double Dash Time Trial community, which is the best Mario Kart community, let's be honest. But jokes aside, we tried out something new, or I tried out something new. I went away from the asking a bunch of questions kind of style to a more of a conversation. So I put in a lot of my opinion and we lead the episode and the conversation from there. So I hope you enjoyed it. I think it was very, very good. I really enjoyed this recording. And it went on a lot longer than we both anticipated. So I think that's a good sign that this episode was very, very good because we talked so long without ever noticing it. And it wasn't really any kind of like getting too long or getting like too uninteresting. It was not draining or anything. It was like always up with the pace and with the conversation. It was like just a very good natural conversation. We were just talking and not asking just a bunch of questions. So I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. And yeah, sorry, first of all, sorry for no episode last week, but I got another solo episode prepared for next week, but I will tell you at the end about this. So now have fun with this one. It's a great episode. So yeah, see you. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Speedrun Education Podcast. Today, I have a very special guest. It's Ideas from the Mario Kart Double Dash community, from the Double Dash Time Trial community. How are you doing? And what are you bringing us today?
Hi. So yeah, as you said, I'm a Mario Kart Double Dash speedrunner, or more specifically, like a time trialer, because like most of the Mario Karts, most of their speedrunning is time trialing each individual courses. And yeah, that's me. My name is Becca.
Yeah, I'm going to refer to you as Becca or Rebecca in general because I think your nickname has like doesn't sound like boring like some of the nicknames from the Double Dash community do without like offending them, but it's like I don't know if a name has a sounds like very good on its own without like random numbers or random combinations of different words, and it's like something you could name someone just like this, like with one word. It's like I don't know, it's good. Like, I don't know, but for example, in like, I don't know, pro play of League of Legends or something, I think like so many, especially Korean or Chinese players, have so many funny names or interesting names.
Yeah, but if you, I agree.
If you're like, you understand English, then, you know, those sound very weird. But I think for those players, they are really, really cool or original. So, yeah. Okay, without, little off topic, but that's great. That's exactly what I want to do for today's episode. So, first of all, like, time trialing, Mario Kart always has been a thing, but why do you time trial Double Dash? Or better say it, why is Double Dash the best Mario Kart?
Oh, why is Double Dash the best Mario Kart is I love that question. So, like, I haven't really played all the Mario Karts. I've only really played Double Dash. I tried a bit of Wii, Mario Kart Wii, a really small amount of 64, but after that, I haven't played, like, any of them. I mean, I have Deluxe on the Switch, but, like, you know, just casually playing it.
Yeah.
But I would say Double Dash is the best because of the manual mini turbos. So, there are a few other games that have that. I think Mario Kart 64 and
DS.
Yeah. Okay. So Mario Kart 64 and DS. But the thing about Mario Kart 64 and DS is in DS you can just spam them over and over and over again. Mm. I mean, that's a lot of technical skill in itself, obviously.
And it kills your D-pad.
It does kill your D-pad. But you can spam it over and over again without having to worry about what's called spacing, which is another mechanic that only Double Dash has. And then different to Mario Kart 64. Mario Kart 64 has a cap to how fast you can charge the mini turbo.
Oh, okay.
So Double Dash has two things. It has an infinite, or maybe not infinite, it's 60 FPS, of course. You can charge it as fast as you can, and you have to space them out, so you can't just spam them over and over again. You have to have a bit of technical skill to wait between each mini turbo.
Okay. I didn't know that. I thought whenever I did a mini turbo and didn't get my next mini turbo ready, I thought I just sucked at it or just messed up my input or something. I didn't even know that you have to wait like a specific amount of time. I always thought it's like my own fault. I mean, it's a fault, but it's like a technical fault.
You have to know about the mechanics.
Okay, actually, that will help me if I ever go back to it. So no, when I went to time traveling in general, I was like just looking through all the games. I played like Double Dash is my second most played Mario Kart in general because I played it a lot with my mom. Like that's funny, but because so little people play with their parents video games, but I played a ton of Mario Kart with my mom and dad.
Same.
It's like we played so often just all courses in one afternoon. It's like so. It was kind of great. And we played a lot of Mario Kart Double Dash and Wii back in the day. And but when I was looking through time trialing, I don't know, I just stick with Double Dash because it was, I don't know, it's just a great game to time trial, I think, because of the technical skill. But also, I was also looking at Mario Kart 8, but Mario Kart 8 had one thing that pulled me so far away from it, and that is that it doesn't have a standard list. And many people might now think, what is a standards list? So, yeah, let's get real quick over it so we can talk about the other stuff. So what is a standards list in time trialing? Because no other game has that, I think.
So yeah, I think it's limited to just time trialing games. So Mario Kart has it, and I think Crash Team Racing has it, if I do recall, or a different type of kart style game. I could be wrong there, but I'm pretty sure like Crash has it.
Maybe Diddy Kong Racing too?
Oh, and Diddy Kong Racing might have it. Either one of those, again, I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, so a standards list is like a tier list of like your times being categorized. So like in the beginning, it's like, what is it? Beginner, intermediate, advanced expert, hero, titan, myth, and then god.
Yeah.
And then after god, there's god plus 1 through 10.
Yeah.
So it's just like a tier list of your times. So like say you got like, a beginner time or something. And you know, it's probably like, you know, not that great. It's in the top 1,000 or so. But then you have a lot of motivation to get to the next tier. So that gives you motivation not to just get a rank, but a whole tier list, which is, in my opinion, at least, like, I think that is gives players a lot of motivation to, like, keep going, keep grinding for the next tier list, or the next tier.
Yeah. No, that was, like, the one reason that made me really, really motivated to time trial this game than anyone else, than any other game. I mean, every other game but Mario Kart 8 has that, but Double Dash is the one I had the most access to and I had the most experience with, and I was, like, the most interested in. But, yeah, it really gives you a motivation. Like, you grind so long for one time, and you know if you now beat this time by, let's say, 0.5 seconds, you get one rank upwards. And you can argue, like, oh, you always try in speedrunning to get faster, but something about this tier list or, you know, tier ranking system, however you want to call it, is like giving you a lot more of what is it called? Like not motivation, but like the chemical thing. Like
I know what you mean. Like I mean serotonin, but
yeah,
like
the dopamine.
Yeah, like a feeling of accomplishment.
Yeah, a feeling of accomplishment. It just gives you like yes, I finally got it, and it also. What is also great about it is it lets you compare your tracks with each other. Like, let's say you got one time, you got like an expert or advanced time in one track. Now you know you should get like the same rank on every other track. On every other track, and you don't feel like lost. Like, oh, now I got this time on this track. How good is this compared to another track? Like, obviously, balance-wise is like a lot of things or a few things are probably wrong balance-wise and could be better balanced on this standards list. But it still gives you like a lot of comparison, motivation, and it's just like nice thing to do. I think it would be cool to see these things implemented in other speed games, but I think it's a ton of work and it's probably very, very hard to do, like to do it well.
Yeah.
So that's that, and isn't it like that not every track has like the highest rank yet achieved by a human or in general?
Yeah.
So how comes that? Like, why is it that like for a game that's that old, like 18 years or something or 17, and has been speedrun and time trial since, you know, ever, why is it that some of the standards that made up by the community are so far unreachable, like Rainbow Road or, I don't know, DK Mountain maybe? Why is it? Like, why did you put the pedestal so high? Like, yeah, do you have an answer to this?
There's a huge history to it that I will try to explain logically in a clear way, but I may be jumping up here and there. So originally the standards were made when the game like first ever came out. So like, you know, 17 years ago or so, by like the, you know, pioneers of like Double Dash Time Travelers. They had some like algorithm that like, you know, they like put in their program, I'm sure. Okay. And, you know, it spit out a bunch of numbers for what like standards are. That was also before a bunch of mechanics were found out, of course. Before ATEC, before like RTEC, which I can explain later, of course.
Yeah, we will talk about those things.
And of course, but it's just, you know, before it was a bunch of mechanics were explained or discovered. So the original standards were all like, you know, they were kind of messed up at first since there was like the first rendition of them. Like, I think Myth was like God at the time. So like, that's like insane to think about.
Yeah.
And then after some tech started being found out, people were like, we can push these tracks like, you know, seconds and seconds faster. So they eventually came out with like God, Myth Plus, Titan Plus, God Plus 1 through 10.
Yeah.
And then that was it. That's actually been the standard since, you know, like 12, 14 years ago now or so. Again, people didn't realize either how much time save there is or how little time save there is with how good you can be at certain techs in the game, specifically ATEC. ATEC, you can push to the absolute limit of the game, like to the very brinks. So certain maps, specifically like Mushroom City, Mushroom Bridge, Peach Beach, the God plus 10 was achieved really easy, or fairly easy, which is the highest tier you can possibly go. So yeah, God plus 10 was like achieved super easy because people pushed ATEC to the limit, because those tracks are specific. Where they were designed, you know, or ATEC, like, really benefited from it.
Yeah, a lot of straights, and the curves are also not, like, wanky or anything. No, like, hills or something you need to practice.
Yeah, so, like, mostly straight lines, which is perfect for ATEC, because that's, like, you know, it makes you go in a straight line. But then there's Rainbow Road, which there's probably only, like, 6 MTs in the entire 3-minute track, while, like, Mushroom City or Peach Beach has, like, hundreds. So it relies less on ATEC. So God plus 10 is not achievable right now. It's impossible.
Even by, like, TAS, theoretically?
It might be by TAS, because the MTs, they can spit out frame-perfect MTs, which will, you know, change the entire game, of course. But human-wise, God plus 10, it's just, there's just no way. Like, perfect RTEC, perfect everything. For human-wise, it's just, like, it's not achievable. But in the community right now, a bunch of, like, the community leaders and stuff are making a new standards list, actually. We're revising the entire thing, and we're, like, really close to being done. We had a Mario Double Dash Fantasy League, like, a month or two ago at this point.
When I joined, this started.
that used the new standards to see how people, like, you know, to see what times people could achieve compared to the old standards list. We had every type of skill level player, beginner, like middle, and then even like world record level. People were like testing out the standards list, and they were like, they're really well done. Like, they're really well. All of them are achievable now. They like seem to be really balanced. And we might like go through with this new standards list after 12, 14 years or so. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you all hear it. When you want to get into Mario Kart Double Dash, now is the perfect time, or about to be the perfect time. So you already, like, mentioned the tech, and that's, like, I think the craziest part about this game, because it feels like, when I talk with a friend of mine about Mario Kart, he always says Mario Kart Double Dash is basically the Melee of Mario Kart, but it doesn't have, like, that big of a community like Melee has. So a lot of people often compare Melee to Mario Kart Wii because of the community aspect. But on the technical aspect, it's always, like, Double Dash
definitely
is, like,
Double Dash.
So far ahead of everything else. So you already mentioned stuff like ATEC and other things. So I want to, like, go through all of them. like chronologically. And I think one thing I want to explain the most here is like just general drifting, because I think there's so much depth to just normal drifting and normal curves that it's like kind of absurd, because like in most Mario Kart games you just like start a drift and then you get like the most perfect line and then you execute the drift with the highest speed boost, whatever. And I think in Double Dash there's so much about just how you enter the drift, how you execute the drift, like how much do you turn while drifting, and how you exit the drift. Because like I feel like the difference between a good player and a bad player can just be made on like four drifts per lap, and that's like how they save like a second or over the other player, even though they did the same amount of drifts. So how exactly do drifts work, and why are they like, what is the deep mechanic behind them? Because I don't know personally right now. Although I played that game a lot.
Yeah, I mean, again, yeah, like you said, it's really deep, and I'm not world record level, so like I still have lots and lots and lots to learn.
But you're top 20 or top 16. Like, yeah. What is your current rank right now?
I'm ranked 11 right now.
Oh, okay. Wow. Nice.
And but yeah, like you said, a lot of it's about the exit. As long as you're exiting tight in the corner, it's a good corner. But again, you know, it's about everything. It's about like how tight you do it, your approach to the corner, and the way you like have to position the control stick in every corner is just slightly a different notch, slightly a different like specific numbered angle, or else it'll change your entire line. You start implementing that with like mini turbos, and of course, like I said, ATEC, which at a certain level, almost every mini turbo you do will have some ATEC to it, like almost every single one, just because it helps your line just that much better.
Mm.
And yeah, like you're busting out mini turbos like left and right as fast as you can. And like I said, spacing, I mentioned that earlier. Spacing, you can't just like charge mini turbo over and over and over again. You have to let your mini turbo breathe. So the max speed your cart can go up to is 70 miles per hour. So you do a mini turbo, let your cart go to 70 miles per hour and stay at it for, I don't know the specific like numbers here, but I just have a feeling for it. You wait like, I don't know, arbitrary number, like a second or two. And then you start another mini turbo and you do that over and over and over again, of course, until you finish the lap.
Yeah, that is like, when I got into this game, I was like, you know, I love to play it, but I realized after 2 or 3 hours of playing it, my thumb got super sore and it got really, really tiring. And not only that, but just to play the game mentally for that long, I felt like after 2 or 3 hours, I wasn't concentrated enough to even pull out the times to beat my last record. It's like so crazy what you have to do for that. And it's like, I don't know. And then there are like other things, like Matilda said one thing about like sideways boosts, or like drifting on the walls, like sometimes super strange. Like you see that a lot on Mushroom Bridge. I think that's like when you just go on you just slide on the wall the entire time. It's like it looks so satisfying, but when you try it yourself, it's like I think when you mess up one thing, you just bump into the wall straight and you just lose all your speed.
Yeah,
it's like
you
super
have
strange.
You have to do a perfect mini turbo every time, or else you just get stuck at the wall.
Yeah.
But that is the perfect line, is grinding against the wall the entire time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's some of the tech I missed. There's a bunch of tech I missed.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no,
there's L-tech, R-tech.
We can talk about
boosting.
All.
Like.
Yeah. Now, but like, what is like sideways boosting? Like, how does it work? And like, could you maybe also explain like how drifting in general works? Because I feel like when a casual is watching, they don't really get how drifting works. Like when you go from like normal drift to orange to blue,
the neutral. Okay, yeah. So to like actually like drift to get a mini turbo, you hold the R or L button, and then you go either left or right twice, and then go back to neutral. So you go left, neutral. And then you release R button, and that'll go from, what is it, yellow, orange to blue. And that's how you get a mini turbo.
Yeah.
But yes, and like you have to do that with your thumb on the control stick. That's why every Double Dash player has a callus on their thumb, because you're just spamming it left and right over and over again.
I also feel like at some time everyone has like the completely broken control stick. Like mine, GameCube was like, my GameCube controller is super old, like from the original days of the GameCube, and it's like was already not the best, but it's like getting worse and worse. It's like kind of destroyed at this point. It's like so crazy. And also that, like, I think what a lot of people underestimate, if you go like, what this is what I noticed when I was playing, like normally you just flip, like as a newcomer, I feel like you just flip left, right, and you, that's how you drift to the left or to the right, because you didn't know about this neutral state that you just have to go over to neutral.
Yeah, it's, you just have to go to neutral. That's a huge thing.
Yeah, because if you go to neutral, I feel like you have so much more control over the car, because you can like decide, do you go like a little bit more, like do you go a little bit over neutral so you like turn a little bit more, or do you just like, it makes so many things so much easier, but also so precise, because when you race against your ghost and you realize you didn't hit that perfect neutral, you just like fall one car length behind your ghosts, and you were, before that you were like ahead maybe. It's like so crazy that how so many little things decide whether your time is going to be good or not. It's like kind of absurd to me, but I think that's like what time trialing is.
I mean, it's the milliseconds, like eventually you just have to 0.1 and that's a PR.
Yeah,
and like anything, like going, like you said, you could PR if you went neutral or not, that really small movement.
Like, you also said, like, L and R tech. I just want to get that out of the window, and then we can move on to, like, other things.
Yeah, so L tech is, there's certain corners in the game, specifically, like, Wario Coliseum and the turning, the spiral of Rainbow Road.
Yeah, like,
That you, a normal drift, you go super wide. Like, your cart can't just drift that normally. Mm-hmm. So you implement L tech, which is just spamming L as fast as you can, actually. It's one of the beginner techs compared to R tech. R tech is much harder.
You spam L while you still hold R.
Yeah, you drift in the corner, and you spam L, and sometimes you hold B to just slow down. Because sometimes you will just go like even wider. That happens too. And then, not the opposite, but the other tech is R tech, which is has a much higher skill ceiling. So R tech is just not spamming it, but in a certain specific rhythm. So it's 3 frames down and 7 frames up with the R button, clicking at like R release, R release, R release, R release.
Holy shit. And like,
and it's really hard.
Yeah, no, I was like talking with a friend of mine, like he played a lot of Mario Kart Double Dash himself, and he's like a good friend of mine, and he was like curious how difficult really R tag is, and like how much of a difference makes it, like if you hold a few frames longer, like is it really going to change your entire time, or
R tag is everything.
So it basically, like on courses like Rainbow Road, it comes like a lot down to how well your R tag is on each lap in the spiral, and you can like basically lose or break your entire run on this point. It's kind of crazy, like it's like absurd to me. Especially like since Rainbow Road is like the longest track and it's like always on the end of the lap, it's like, I don't know,
it's why everyone hates Rainbow Road. Rainbow Road is the most hated track in all of Double Dash because of that reason.
I can see that Rainbow Road felt often, like for me, I was just low rank, obviously. I was like just on the expert time, so like basically in the middle. I felt like on Rainbow Road, and like also on a few other tracks like DK Mountain or Waluigi Stadium, I felt like it felt kind of random if I get a good run or not, because I was like not so good at deciding the run's strength on my own, but like how well I got on the spiral upwards and if I hit every speed panel or not, and I don't know, it felt like when I was working for a good time on Baby Park, I was like really working on it and I earned it myself, and every time I went back to Waluigi Stadium, I just played the course because I get better player. I beat it by 3-4 seconds, whatever. And then it was so hard to beat it again, even though I didn't know what I was doing different. It's like so strange.
Yeah, that you get into the groove where that happens sometimes.
Yeah,
definitely. I've been there. We've all been there.
No, I this game is so cool. I feel like one thing this game has over, or one thing I really like about this game is that it doesn't rely so much on shortcuts. Like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe time trialing is like all about like executing shortcuts on nearly every track, I feel like. Or on most of the tracks, like how well you abuse your mushrooms and how well can you do like shroomless shortcuts, and that will like push you so high or so low. And then I feel like in Double Dash it's just on most tracks, like DK Mountain is like the only one I can think of right now who has one shortcut or one significant shortcut in time trialing. But on Double Dash, it's like one straight line upwards. And so what are your thoughts about this? Like, was this like a good thing for you? And like, how did it... I don't know. Maybe just talk about your thoughts of the tracks, because I
definitely can. Regarding the shortcuts. So Double Dash is actually, like, even though how old it is, it's super polished. Compared to, like, of course, like, you think of, like, Ultra Shortcuts, everyone thinks Mario Kart Wii. Mario Kart Wii has like an Ultra Shortcut in like every single track, sometimes multiple in the same track. And so Double Dash only has two Ultra Shortcuts and then like two like normal shortcuts. So the normal shortcuts being, like you said, one of them being DKM, which is just like skipping like the one turn.
Yeah,
it's just skipping like one turn. You just like fall down straight to the bridge. And the other one being the RP3. One's the YOLO. That's the proper term in Yoshi's Circuit. I didn't name that, I'm just saying.
What is the YOLO? Is it like the tiny thing on the tail or where? Oh, no.
Very beginning.
Yeah, it's with the mushroom. Like,
yeah.
But you can also do this without the shroom, don't you?
That's the shortcut. Yeah, you can do it shroomless, which is not the shortcut. It's not an off shortcut. Just do a properly timed mini turbo and you get over it. It's really not that hard.
Mini turbos are busted in this game.
Yeah, mini turbos are busted in this game. You can go 70 miles per hour in the grass. Like, that's all you need to know. And same with the DKM one. It's fairly easy to execute. You just turn into the corner and you get it eventually.
Yeah.
So the ultra and this one isn't really an ultra shortcut, but the Waluigi one. You hit a Lakitu barrier and you just get put into the next part of the track, and then you're like right there next to the finish line. The next one, these two were discovered very recently in the last like year by Goomba.
Okay.
Yeah, these are the two actual like ultra shortcuts, like official ultra shortcuts. That's the Mushroom Bridge one and the Bowser Castle one. And the way they work is really complicated.
Wait, I didn't know about Mushroom Bridge actually.
Yeah, so Mushroom Bridge is insane. You have to go out of bounds, and then you have to hit a Lakitu skip, and then you hit a Lakitu barrier, and like it's really complicated. I would want to just tell you to go watch Goomba's video on it.
Yeah, no, I will.
He explains it so well and like so precise.
I was about to say I will put like links of video footage of those shortcuts in the description, so you all can watch it.
Yeah, and of course the Bowser Castle one he also discovered. Again, it just has something to do with the checkpoints that I don't really know about personally. Because the checkpoints are really different in this game compared to, like I said, Wii, where the Ultra Shortcuts are like, you know, you just skip a checkpoint and it just counts. This one, if you skip a checkpoint, it doesn't count the lap. You have to go, it's called out-of-bounds stacking. So you have to, like, stack your out-of-bounds and it, like, counts as a checkpoint or something. Watch the video he will tell you everything. Those are the two, like, Ultra Shortcuts. Another thing about that, actually, if you look at other like Mario Kart leaderboards, sometimes they have them split into two categories: shortcuts and non-shortcuts. So our leaderboards doesn't have a non-shortcut because there's only like three.
Yeah. You don't even like use like you're not allowed to use them in like time trialing.
And yes, you're not allowed to use them.
But you're allowed to use them, for example, in cup speedruns. I think
Grand Prix and stuff. We do, however, have like a Google Doc for people that do like get times with like the Waluigi shortcut, Mushroom Bridge shortcut, etc. But it's not like official on like the website. It's just like us keeping track in the community.
Or the standard in like the scene.
There's no standards for them.
I'm just like curious, like how like probably just the very best in regular time trialing are also like the best in those, I suppose, like Goomba.
I mean, it's still about like mini turbo.
I was curious if like one person was just like grinding out to be very, very good on those, if those could like beat like the really, really good ones. And the more interesting question for me would be how well would those people be acknowledged for that? Like, would people be give them credits for, or would they just say, you just like practiced the cheesy stuff, like get really good at Mario Kart time trialing if you want to compete with us. I don't know. It sounds very toxic, but you know, sometimes community, like I recently talked with a friend of mine, and he was like, in SM64, like a lot of people give credit for like 120 star and 70 star, and if you're like whatever your time is in 16 star, unless it's like the world record, like no one gives a shit about it. Maybe.
Yeah. No. I can see that. But yes, actually, there is a player in the community that when like the Mushroom Bridge skip was found, and then he joined the community like a little after, he grinded it. Like he grinded it for world record, and he got it several times. Like Goomba took it back, then he took it back again. Like they were like fighting back and forth, and it was really cool to see. Mm-hmm. He also did Grand Prix with it. He was the first one actually to implement it in Grand Prix, and he got world record with the Ultra Shortcut in it.
Yeah, because it's like so quote unquote broken.
It saved like minutes.
Yeah,
it was broken. It saved minutes if you implemented, you got world record. It's just really hard. It was, I mean, for a while everyone was like, it's not really RTA viable. There's no way you're gonna grind that out, and he did. So I mean, he got it. But then again, Goomba did take it back.
Okay.
Goomba grinded it up also, and he took it back. But yeah, no, and I mean, some people were like, you just grinded it for like a free record, but I think it's commendable. I mean, it's still a record. Like, you implemented it, we thought it wasn't RTA viable, and you proved us wrong.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah.
I think that's cool. Like, I don't know. I think that's really cool.
No, I definitely think that. Like, I'm like, you know, all about it, those people who like are really, really good at those games and just grind out things. But I'm also like very, very, you know, for the people who just like this isn't really true like for Double Dash or like most games, but for example in like Ocarina of Time is like a game that has like so many people who just discover all the glitches. They know they don't run like the game itself. They just like sit down and figure things out. It's like very, very crazy. I talked with a few of them. But it needs those people as much as it needs like a ZFG who's then going for the world record in Hando. Or you know, it's like, you know, it's still like a community aspect of like speedrunning. And if someone is like showing, hey, this is RTA viable now, you know, other people could optimize this even further. It's like kind of crazy to think about that, you know, how we go from, oh no, this will never be possible. Like we say this in every speed game, basically. No, this time will never be possible, or this trick will never be possible. And you know, some stay truly impossible for the most part. But you know, sometimes people are like, no, I will get this shit done, and then they just do it. It's like kind of crazy. Yeah. Like I don't know, but also like one thing. One thing I like also about this game is like the tracks kind of play differently for most part. Like for example, Sorbet Land. I know this comes really random and really random straight transition, but I just want to get this out. Like whenever I watched you when I was watching you did Sorbet Land, I felt like for example this little ice section at the end is like super unique compared to every other track in this game. By just looking at it. And I feel like every track has at least like one part or one thing that makes it very, very unique. Like Baby Park, you just like hit your face into the wall and do like a friend of mine told me this is like not normal A tech, this like a sort of crazy A tech you do in Baby Park.
Yeah, it is.
And then like, for example, what else is there? Like I loved always the Rider Desert, and I was like kind of interesting for me to see that you like half the time you are not even on the track. You just like go under the little orange sand, and this is like still driftable and fast, and the game doesn't care about it. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like all tracks have like one thing that makes it very, very interesting, unique. Or like Bowser's Castle, when I was doing it, I had always a hard time getting a new record because I needed to beat that fireball on the first lap. Otherwise, he blocks like the shortcut there, or like the shorter turn, and I was like just grinding for 1 hour or 2 hours to beat that fucking cycle. And then once I got it, I was like, my heart was pumping because I knew now I need to get a good time. Otherwise, I'm like, everything was for nothing, basically. So, yeah. What do you think about this? Is this like something you can relate to, or is like...
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Like, no, like, that's also what makes Double Dash, like, in particular, super fun for me. Because, like, I can, you know, grind out a track and get, like, really burnt out. But then I, like, you know, think about playing a different track or, like, watch, like, a friend play a different track. And I'm like, but I really want to grind Double Dash more, even though I just grinded it, like, for five hours.
Yeah.
I'm like, but, like, this is so different compared to the last thing I was doing. It's motivating me. And, like, yeah, the comments on, like, the Baby Park strat you're talking about. So, yeah, I'm going to backtrack just a tiny bit here to talk about A-Tech. So there's, like, all kinds of variants of A-Tech. There's normal A-Tech, which is...
How do you even, like, execute A-Tech? Like, how does A-Tech course, work? Yeah.
So A-Tech is releasing A, not holding A. So, like, in Mario Kart games, you just want to have, you know, slam A the entire time, and there you go, you go fast. But in Double Dash, it's actually different. It's actually releasing A, and you go faster. So, say you implement a drift, you have A down and R down, and you release R, and that's just a normal drift. So A-Tech is actually releasing A and R at the same time, and then pressing A and R at the same time. So this makes your kart actually go in a straighter line, for some reason. And then it just, the actual like physics is it makes your kart have forward momentum. And so you can actually implement different forms of A-Tech. So releasing A before R and having R down the entire time gives you sideways momentum. And that's what fancy A-Tech is called. And that's what you see in Baby Park, where you're just going sideways the entire time. And like, when I first saw that, when I first saw Goomba's like world record of him just going sideways around Baby Park, it blew my mind. I mean, I was like beginner at this point, so I was like, this is insane. I want to be able to do this.
Yeah.
To a person who even has never played the game, watching the Baby Park world record is ridiculous. It looks like they're cheating.
Yeah.
It really looks like they're cheating. They're just going sideways the entire time. Like, that's so weird. But yeah, that's like super, that's like peak level of like
highest level of
highest level of Double Dash is Baby Park sideways. It's really cool.
Don't you also use this like in Peach Beach fastest lap? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I
saw this and was like, why are you, what are you doing there? Like, why aren't you driving like normal?
Yeah, so again, there's also different parts of each track where you can implement sideways, which just makes it that much faster. So, like you said, the beginning of Peach Peach Fast Lap, you go sideways until you shroom, because it's the tightest line you can possibly take. It's really hard, though, because, like, lining up the shroom, it was a nightmare. But, and then also Sherbet Land, the ice section, you go sideways.
Oh, okay.
But since the ice physics enhances A-Tech, you don't actually have to fancy. You can, like, normal A-Tech and it kind of pushes you sideways.
Okay.
You have to get used to it.
Yeah. No, the ice, when I was doing Sherbet Land, first of all, like, I needed to figure out how to, like, go over this hill perfectly. But the ice physics and the Shy Guy cycles were the things that, you know, messed me up the most. Because, like, I always felt like, oh, yeah, I know how to go around this. But then sometimes I, like, just hit this little hill and then I just bop into the wall, like, on the ice. They're, like, these little hills. It's, like, so... This is also one thing I really find crazy about this game. Like, this was something I figured out when I was doing Grand Prix speedruns for fun. Like, the logical physics of this game are super whack. Like, seriously, when you're in air, you're just, like, floating weirdly. And, like, when you do Grand Prix and you're getting hit by a shark while you are drifting or while you're, like, high speed, I feel like you're just sliding 50 kilometers forward in a turn, and you can't, there's nothing you can do about it, and you're just hitting a wall, and you fall off, and you're just like, oh, well, I guess I'm dead now. It's, like, kind of crazy. So this game has, like, a lot of whack things, I think, and I also feel like, I don't know, I feel like if you have played it as a child, you really, really like it, but if you haven't, this game feels kind of whack to you.
I agree. Casually, this game's a nightmare. And I've always said this on like stream and everything. Like, casually, Mario Kart Double Dash kind of sucks. Like, the mechanics suck. Like, the manual mini turbos are really bad for a casual player because it takes a lot of techno skill to do one mini turbo. Like, even just a normal mini turbo, like, I agree. But, like, you know, once you dive into the mechanics, like, deep mechanics, yeah, competitively, it's an amazing game.
No, I remember when I was a, you know, when I was a child and played with my parents this game, or with my brother, I remember I was the only one who used drifting.
Yeah,
like my mom was always like going around the corners without drifting at all. Like, she didn't know what the L and R button do, and she never wanted to know what they do. And I was I was drifting. I don't know if I was getting mini turbos, but just because I was drifting, I felt like, yeah, I'm cooler. I'm faster going through this.
I mean, you were faster. You were probably taking the corner tighter. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Okay, so one last thing I just wanted to talk about today, because we already like talked 38 minutes. It's like kind of insane. Wow. Yeah, no, the first time I was looking at the time, I was like, holy shit, we already talked like 27 minutes. I thought like we were sitting here for 10 minutes maybe, or 15, you know? It's like kind of crazy. But no, Grand Prix speedruns, I feel like are, you know, I wouldn't say I would ever like main that thing. Like, if I would ever go back seriously to Mario Kart Double Dash, I would go for time trialing again. Or yeah, I'm still like kind of going. But Grand Prix felt like kind of a fun, unique experience somehow, because it's like so much different. And like,
yeah,
it's like, I don't know. It obviously comes down to RNG to some extent, but you. Like, if you're a good player, you would still, like, get, like, I don't know, top 10 time for the most average part. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about this. Like, what are the things that make Grand Prix speedrun, for example, more fun than you would guess as a casual? Like, because I think if you have no idea about time trialing or Mario Kart Double Dash or Mario Kart speedruns, you think, oh, when I do a speedrun with all the CPUs and the RNG of the items, it's, like, pure RNG fest for world record or for a good time, but it's probably not, especially in Double Dash. I feel like it's probably not.
That's actually how a lot of people think. That's how I started too, actually. I first started playing Double Dash doing Mushroom Cup speedruns, Grand Prix. Eventually, you know, I had people in my chat be like, or the Double Dash community at the time, be like, oh, you should try time trials. Like, you know, if you really want to play this game, like, if you really want to speedrun it, everyone plays time trials. And of course, I switched over. But that's also how I see a lot of new players. Every time I see a Double Dash stream and they're like a new player, they're doing either All Cup Tour or like Mushroom Cup or something. Mm. And like, they think that they're like, oh, you know, the world record's probably all RNG. If I just like grind it out and get perfect RNG, you know, I'll get world record. But like, there's a lot more to it. So yeah, same, RNG sucks. Once you play a lot of time trials, you don't want to go back to Grand Prix at all. You don't not care about those leaderboards. You just like do a race with friends for fun and like submit it to speedrun.com. Yeah. So like that's all you really care about. The RNG is just so annoying. Like, time trials has zero RNG. It's all cycle based, which is perfect. That's all skill factor.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, I mean, once you get like really good at time trials, and you like had a newbie time when you first started the game on like All Cup Tour or something, you beat it by minutes.
Yeah.
Just because of how faster you are with the mechanics and like all kinds of stuff. Another big thing actually is also airtime. I forgot to mention this with the mechanics.
Yeah,
airtime
is, like,
is really bad.
It's like also the most important factor if you want to have a good time on DK Mountain.
Yeah,
like, makes everything different. Like, for this entire track, it's so crazy.
Yeah, it saves seconds not to have airtime because you go down to like 20 miles per hour, which is slow.
No. When I was doing like Grand Prix, I always did like All Cups Tour, because it, fun story, like I always go to a location like very near to my home place, which is like a gaming bar, and we play like Smash Brothers and like other fighting games mainly there. But every Friday we have like a fun event, like let it be like werewolves. I don't know if you know that card game, like
is it like Mafia?
Yeah, it's like Mafia but with other cards and types. Or we play, like, I don't know, we had a Mario Striker fun tournament. And we also have sometimes, like, Mario Kart there. And one time we had Mario Kart Double Dash. And I was, like, I did the speedrun of this game. I wanted to win it. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
So I did, like, all Tour Grand Prix for practice. And over like the 2 days or 3 days I did this, I was like improving my time by, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes by just like going over and over and getting like one time very ridiculous RNG. Like I think I got only 4 blue shells and 3 shocks or something. It's like, I was feeling very good about this one. You know, even though on every track I drew probably into 4 billion bananas and like hit the wall and was not really playing on my best, I still felt like, hey, this one was nice. So but then a friend of mine told me about that you, like, for example, you can dodge blue shells if you're really good, but that's kind of wacky. And one thing I also figured out myself is like when you drift like in a turn, or when you can just drift nonstop, basically you like either outrun red shells or they just hop like weirdly besides you because they can't catch up. It's like super strange. And like how, for example, does like blue shell dodges work? Because I never really understood it, although it looked like a thousand times looked like I nearly got it. So yeah, if we could get that one out so people can say, oh, you can dodge blue shells without a mushroom, this game looks now 10 times better to me.
You can dodge blue shells without a mushroom. All you need is a mini turbo, but it depends on if you're on flat ground and if it's the type of blue shell. So there's like 3 or 4 different kinds of blue shells. There's one that hovers behind you for like a second or two, which is like letting you dodge it. Those are the ones that are like super easy to dodge. It's like not even close to frame perfect. It's like probably, you know, like 5 or 10. It's like super easy if it's like hovering behind you. Well, not super easy, but if you have a grasp of the mini turbo mechanics, it's easier. Then there's the ones that just instantly like hit you. Like they give you zero, they give you, it's impossible to dodge. They don't even get an indicator. So like there are normally there's like a blue or red shell indicator behind you. There's no blue shell indicator. They just go boom and hit you. Those suck. And there's also like 2 in between. There's one where it like hovers above you and you have like way less frames to react. And there's one where it's like even less frames to react. So there's like 4 different kinds, or it like roughly. But yeah, so you just do, you charge a mini turbo. You wait for it to hover behind you. If you get a good blue shell, you wait for it to hover behind you. And as soon as it like swoops in to actually hit you, you just release the mini turbo in like a parallel direction and you dodge it. It just like hits the ground in front of you.
Okay. No, I really got that sometimes very, very closely. Like it looked like a dodge. Like I definitely, when I was looking at my screen, it looked like it just exploded besides me, but it still hit me. So it's probably just I didn't hit that window, but it's like kind of interesting to me that you somehow can do this. Like when I was doing this and didn't know that, I it often looked like to me, hey, this looks dodgeable, but probably not. So yeah, it's kind of cool that it's like dodgeable.
Yeah, it's dodgeable.
Do you think we have forgotten anything? Like, do you think when someone listens to this, he's like, holy shit, Double Dash, I have access to my GameCube or Wii, or can mod my Wii? You can probably mod your Wii so you have Double Dash, can't you?
Yeah, you can USB load it, and it's like allowed on the Time Trial website.
Yeah, just do that if you have a Wii. It's like easy. If I can mod a Wii, you can do it very easily. There are tons of tutorials for that. But yeah, do you think we have forgotten anything so people will be convinced?
Well, you said you can also dodge red shells, and yes, you can. If you just do like pretty much perfect mini turbos, the red shell won't even like hit you. Because it's just like not that fast.
Yeah, it's not that fast, and it's the physics of red shells, the physics of everything in this game are weird. But red shells just sometimes, especially on like Rainbow Road or like bumpy tracks, they already like are not like really on the ground the entire time. So yeah, sometimes they just like overshoot you randomly. It's like kind of strange. This game has like funny. Some weird mechanics, but it's still very, very good. Like if you just look at time trials, very, very good.
Time trialing. I would like to like say the barcode64.com/mkdd is where the website is for like time trialing and like the rankings and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So of course visit that website, that and the Discord, the Double Dash public Discord is amazing.
Yeah. Also if you have like the opportunity to stream this game, just do it. I will guarantee you at some point there will be a good player popping in and just look at you and tell you some stuff. Like, I don't know how many people rejoined me from the Mario Kart Double Dash community, but there were a lot who just like were never very nice, gave me like friendly advice. It's like very cool. Like I was very, very welcomed, even though I didn't, you know, try to be welcomed.
Well, yeah, we have a bot in there that like shows who's playing Double Dash.
Yeah.
You just have to have the speedrun tag on, and like, you know, people will pop in. I pop in every time I see one. I like always either say hi or follow them real quick. And like if they want tips, I give them, but I try not the backseat game.
No, actually, one thing, I always want to get this out because this podcast was primarily made to, you know, help people to get started with speedrunning. So if one is thinking about time trialing Mario Kart Double Dash or even just like speedrunning Grand Prix or something, what would you say them to get like the best start with the game? Like what is do you think makes them gives them the most fun or the best improvement or, you know, a big mix of both? What would your personal recommendation be? And I think with that, we could like leave this episode and be very, very happy.
I've seen a lot of people start with Grand Prix. Like I said, they start with the Grand Prix. They realize the RNG sucks. They realize how bad the mechanics are to a like casual or somebody just learning the game. And they quit the game. That happens all the time. So I would much prefer, I'm sure I'm speaking for like pretty much the entire community when I say this, just play like the first map, or like your, not even the first map, just like your favorite track, whatever one, pick it and just like time trial it. Just like don't even like look up any of the mechanics. Just see if you can beat your ghost over and over again. And just like if you like the game there, just keep going. Because it's super fun. Like time trialing, there's no RNG. It's like once you learn how to mini turbo, you'll beat your ghost. Like you can do one mini turbo and you'll beat your ghost.
Yeah.
And like it's really fun. Like especially when using ghosts and you're like way ahead of it. Lap 2,
yo.
You see you're like 500 milliseconds ahead, your heart starts going like 500 beats per second.
I can totally really agree. Time running can be very, very addictive, but as we said earlier, it's like I speedrun, you know, other, or I speedrun Celeste, which is also like a high input, less downtime, low downtime game, but yeah, time trialing is much more tiring because you can reset over and over and over, and you give yourself very, very little breaks. Usually, if you're unaware of it, so you just get tired of it. But it's still very, very addictive, and it's like cool to see go times down. Especially one really cool thing I like about this game is when you grind out one track for 3 hours just to beat it by 0.5 seconds, the next day or later you go to like another track, you feel much more confident, and you just beat it naturally without even thinking about it sometimes. Yes. It's like very, very cool, especially in the beginning. So that is my take on this. I think we have covered everything. Thank you again for being here. I think we had a fantastic talk. I hope you enjoyed it. And yeah, go out, get Mario Kart Double Dash from your, I don't know, shelf, very, very dusty shelf, and then just play it and have fun with it. It's very, very great. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, see you next time. Everyone, goodbye and have a great time.
Welcome back from this episode. I first of all hope 50 minutes, I think it's a 50 minute recording, was not too long for you. I think it was really good. I really enjoyed this conversation. We could have talked for like probably an hour more or even longer. So we maybe will record another episode with her because this game is so deep and I really enjoyed this conversation. But yeah, first, next week I will upload a solo episode most likely because some of my guests I am preparing with aren't really responding or have no time in the next weeks. So next week I will bring out a solo episode about practice and mindful practice and why it's important, etc. So keep an eye out for that if you want to improve your own speedruns. And yeah, I hope this long episode was good enough for you. And I hope you're having a great day and you keep enjoying the podcast. It really means a lot to me. So see you next week with the solo episode, and till then, have a great time.